Well, amen. Praise the Lord. And what a blessing that song was. And when you begin to think about the love of Jesus, it's almost overwhelming when you think about what he's done. And praise the Lord for all of the music today. And incredible music that's been sung here today to not lift up the singer, but to lift up our Savior. And we praise the Lord for that. And it's good to see you in church this morning, this first Sunday of 2019. And the Lord's given us a beautiful day, beautiful sunshine. It almost feels like spring outside. And we praise the Lord for that as well. And we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 19 this morning. Genesis chapter 19. And so once you've found your place in God's Word, if you're able to, I'd invite you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 19. As you look at this passage, you'll remember, and this is the portion of scriptures where God rains down fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see there in verse 24, where we'll begin our reading here in just a moment, that Lot's family is being led out of the city by an angel. And the Bible says in verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground." And then verse 26, we have this said of Lot's wife. "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Very interesting passage of scripture. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "Looking Back When You Should Be Moving Forward." Looking back when you should be moving forward. Let's pray, ask the Lord's blessings upon the reading of his word and the message, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, we do come before you today thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us to open up your word. Lord, we have been so encouraged by fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been strengthened through the music this morning. And I pray now, Lord, that we would be edified through the preaching of your word. I pray that you do in our hearts, Lord, what no man can do, and that is work in our hearts and lives today and touch them. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I think there's a theme here in this passage. I wrote this down: focusing on your past will hinder your present spiritual growth. Focusing on that which is behind you. In other words, we would say we ought to, as Christians, keep our eyes fixed on God. And I can't help but think of this as a very appropriate passage as we start the first Sunday of 2019. You know, many people, as they begin the new year, look at resolutions. And perhaps you did that this year. And hopefully, if you did, hopefully that resolution still rings true just 6 days into the new year. But what a wonderful blessing. The Bible tells us that his mercies are renewed every morning. And even if we failed yesterday, we can still move forward today. But here we have Lot's wife, and I believe that her failure was a failure to keep her focus on where God was taking her, what God was doing with their lives. The Lord has blessed our home with 4 children, and they certainly have been a blessing. But I remember, especially as they were younger, we used to say this a lot and find ourselves sometimes still saying it: watch where you're going. Keep your eyes in front of you, you know. Focus. This is what you're supposed to be doing right now, so focus on that. I know, of course, we live in a cell phone age, and it's not uncommon to see someone walking down a street with their eyes glued to their cell phone, and they have no clue what's going on around them. People are passing them, they're running into people, they're running into things, and it really doesn't faze them because they're focused on one thing. And yet, I remember specifically a vacation that we took a couple of years ago. We went to the happiest place on earth, right? Disney World. And I remember there, as we went to Magic Kingdom, of course, we chose to go at the beginning of June. Schools had just let out, so everybody, it seemed like, in our country and in other countries was there. And there we were with them. And I remember standing on Main Street. Now listen, when we go to Disney World, it costs a lot of money, so we're going to get our money's worth, all right? So we go when the park opens, and we stay till the park closes. That's just the rule. That's how it goes. And I remember there on Main Street, there at the end of the night, They're going to have a laser show and fireworks. And again, everybody has the same philosophy that I had. You're paying for this vacation. You're going to enjoy every minute of it. So we're there. And I remember as a dad thinking practically, we're going to stand near the back. And as soon as this is over, I'm taking my four kids and we're going to beat everyone to the monorail. And then we're going to beat everyone. We're going to be out the first ones on the tram to take you to your car. And we'll be back to our hotel in no time. Well, the problem is, Disney World knows really how to market things to kids. You know, they have pictures in all the windows and they have smells coming out of the stores that are there on Main Street, and it all attracts the children's attention away from what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm thinking, let's get to the car as quick as we can. And I remember we, each of us had two kids in our hands and we're like dragging them out of Disney World because we're focused on being the first ones to the car. Our kids weren't really working with us that day. And yet, as I think about this passage, we see Lot's wife, who has become quite infamous for being turned into a pillar of salt. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture. In fact, you would ask, I assume you would ask many, many people, those even that are unchurched today, and they would know somewhat of this story, Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt. And the reason that we're given here in the Scriptures is that she had looked back on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah as an angel sent from God was pulling her family away from there. Now, lest you should stop and say, well, God turned her into a pillar of salt. Where is the mercy and grace of God? The truth is, God had given many, many opportunities for this family. In fact, I want you to go back to chapter 19, verse 17. There had been a very clear command given to them by this angel. The Bible says in verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now listen, this morning, I very seriously doubt that I'm the smartest person in the room today. But when someone talks about, you do this, and if you don't do this, you're going to be consumed, I wouldn't have a hard time paying attention there. And yet, the very clear warning from Scripture, from this angel, had been given to them to not look back, lest they would be consumed. Now, here's what we know about Sodom. I think we could say this morning that Sodom was no place for God's people. It certainly was no place for those that looked to the true God of Israel, God's people to live in. And yet Lot and his wife had grown quite comfortable there. They began to raise a family in the land of Sodom. The Bible tells us that Lot had a place of notoriety there in Sodom. He would sit at the city gates, which oftentimes was where they would do business and where those that would have a place of prominence would sit. And so that was there where they were at. We see that their entire lives had become wrapped up in this city. And I would say this, outside of God's mercy and outside of Abraham's intercessory prayer, Lot and his family would have and should have been destroyed for being residents of that wicked city. In fact, if you go back to verse 16, and God's mercy there, and while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Now notice this, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. God's mercy is all over this story. God had given them every opportunity to come out of the city, and he even had grabbed them, the angels had grabbed them by the hand and pulled them out of the city. And yet, here's what we could say this morning without exaggeration, that while Lot's wife may have physically left the city, her heart was still back in Sodom. She was no longer physically residing in that city, but her heart is back there. And by the way, for those that look to God, that's a major, major problem. It ought to be a great lesson to us this morning on the stronghold of sin in our lives. The attraction of sin and the ability of sin to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Here God is sparing her very life. Here God has intervened and allowed angels to come to get them and to pull them out of the city. God gives them a very clear warning not to look back, and she still turns back toward that city. And Lot's wife will forever be remembered for looking back while God was moving her forward. Looking back when God was moving her and her family forward. Listen, there's a physical, obviously a physical application here. We understand how many times have you told your kids or someone else, watch where you're going. Keep your eyes in front of you. Can I tell you, if there's a physical application, there is a spiritual application to this morning. I want you to turn to Luke in chapter 9 today. Luke in chapter 9. Here Jesus is speaking on the cost of discipleship, on the idea of turning to God and giving God everything. And the Bible says in Luke in chapter 9 and verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, he was speaking to a man here, he said this in verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God has called us as Christians to a life of discipleship. In other words, when we move forward with God, there's no time to look back. There's no time to return to where we have been. Listen, can I say this morning? If you're saved today, God has a plan for your life. And you'll only realize that plan if you're keeping your eyes on Him. If your eyes are focused on where He is taking you today. As I was preparing for this message, I like the way someone put it. You can't make progress with God as long as you're holding on to pieces from your old life. You see, when we come to God, God wants everything. When we kneel down and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He says, I want you to leave everything behind. I want everything that you have. And listen, if we're trying to go forward with God and we're still holding on to pieces from our old life, can I tell you, we won't make the progress that God wants us to make in the Christian life. And here we have the story of Lot's wife as a warning. It's been given to us there in the very first chapters of Scripture, just a few chapters in, a warning to never focus on where you've been. Stay focused on where God's taking you. Don't look back when you should be moving forward. I want to just pull some application from this passage, if I may. Just two quick things this morning. First of all, God had redeemed Lot's family for something far better than Sodom. I want you to think about that this morning. God had pulled them out of the land of Sodom. It was a picture of redemption. God had redeemed them for something far better than what they had left behind there in Sodom. Sodom was home for Lot's family. We find that they had originally chosen Sodom, and Lot had chosen it because of the financial opportunities that existed there. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 13, there came a time when Lot and Abraham, who had been together, their herdsmen began striving with one another, and Abraham in much wisdom said, it's time to, you go one way, I'll go another way. And so he gave Lot the choice, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. We understand that he looked out, and when it became his choice, rather than really consulting and asking God where he would go, he chose what would be economically prosperous for him. He was a herdsman. His animals needed the grass that Sodom would provide in the plains there. The Bible says they were well watered, and he said, this would be good for me. This would be a good financial decision, and he began to go towards Sodom. But the Bible reveals this in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Sodom had a reputation. He was full of wickedness. Everywhere you went, there was wickedness in the land of Sodom. And yet, we understand the picture of Sodom is the picture of our life without Christ. It's a life of sin. The Bible reveals, listen, that the unsaved are dead in their trespasses and in sin. The picture that we see of Sodom is really the picture of a human life that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a picture of someone that is dead in their trespasses and sins. Can I tell you this morning that the Bible reveals that one of these days, just like God brought judgment on the land of Sodom, God will bring judgment upon the inhabitants of this earth. Those that are without Christ, that have not acknowledged Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible tells us that they will stand in judgment before God one of these days. If you go through this life and you do not acknowledge God, one of these days you'll stand before an almighty God and God will send you to a devil's hell for all eternity. And someone might say, well, listen, that's not a very positive message. Here's what I want you to understand. Before judgment, there's a time for mercy. Just like in the land of Sodom, before judgment came upon the land of Sodom, God gave a chance for mercy. God came to the inhabitants. He sent angels there to the land of Sodom so that they might have a chance for mercy. You understand this morning that God gives an opportunity to every man and woman above the age of accountability to repent and to call upon Him for salvation. He has died on the cross for our sins that we might receive the shed blood of Jesus Christ and gain complete forgiveness of sins. Listen, we understand judgment is coming one day. But before judgment, mercy. God has given to us His Word. God has given to us Jesus Christ. He extends to us mercy. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 if you would this morning. Romans chapter 5 this morning. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, that's the mercy, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Judgment. Judgment is coming, but before judgment, a chance for mercy. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, judgment is coming one of these days. But God has extended to you today a chance for mercy. A chance to call upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Judgment, yes, but first, mercy. The Bible says there in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. He's speaking of Adam there. As Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden, he passed along that judgment of condemnation to every man and woman and child behind him. His children had that sin curse upon them. Their children, and so on and so forth. As by one man, listen, because of Adam's sin, we stand in condemnation today. Before God, we are condemned already, the Bible reveals to us. And yet the Bible goes on and says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of one man's sin came on this earth, yet because of one man, the Bible says there's mercy available today. Righteousness. That God can take our lives and He can wash us clean from our sins. The Bible says in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible reveals that judgment will come, but there's mercy available now. I see that in Lot's wife's life as well. If you go back to chapter 19 of Genesis, judgment was coming there in Sodom. But before judgment, verse 16 is a perfect picture of God's redeeming mercy. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You see, it's a picture of God and his mercy in redeeming the sinner before judgment falls upon them. Listen, can I say this morning, Lot and his family deserve to be destroyed with the inhabitants of Sodom, but God redeemed them. And here's why I want you to understand. God redeemed them for something far better than what was back in the land of Sodom. He had pulled them out. Which, by the way, it makes it all that much harder to understand why she would turn around and look back, other than the fact that her heart was back there. Some might say, well, perhaps she looked back because Sodom was home. And yes, I understand. Listen, Sodom was where they had raised their family. And yet that may have been home. But can I tell you, God could give her a far better home where he was taking her. Some might say, well, maybe she looked back because in Sodom, at least she and Lot were in control of their lives. At least they knew where they were going. I mean, after all, they're being ripped away from this city that they've raised their family in, and it doesn't seem like they're really in control of their lives anymore. And can I say this? They may have been in control back in Sodom, but a life of God leading us is far better than a life where we are in control. I mean, how many Christians have had that testimony this morning? There was a time in which you were in control of things, but now God has control. And can I tell you, it's a far better life when God is in control. We may not know what the future lies ahead of us, and we may not be making all the decisions in our lives, but God is, and God is leading us, and God is guiding us. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. If God has redeemed you, he didn't redeem you so that you could live like a lost man. He didn't redeem you so that you could relive your past. Listen, Christian, today, there's nothing back there to longingly look back on. Do you remember your life before Christ when you were dead in your trespasses and sins? Listen, those weren't the good old days. I grow weary sometimes when I hear people talking, well, before we were saved, man, we had a good time. Those were the good old days. Listen, do you understand? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. There's nothing back there to look back on. There's nothing there for us. God has redeemed us from that life so that we might live a life for him. I'm amazed at how many Christians will limit what God can do in their life going forward because they're not willing to let go of some of the pieces of their old life. They come to God and they receive salvation. And they say, God, you can have most of me, but I want to hold this part back to myself. You can't have this. Listen, can I tell you? You can't move forward with what God wants you to do when you're holding on to the pieces of your old life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, when God saved you, he wanted a complete transformation. He didn't want to just save part of you. He didn't want you just to change a little bit. He wants a complete transformation. He says, all things are become new. He renews every part of our life, and we do ourselves no favors when we limit what we allow him to renew. Listen, if you're saved today, you'd be wise to live every day thanking God for redeeming you from your past. As you start each morning, it would be a wise thing. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done in my life. Amen. Lord, I don't ever want to go back there. I don't want to have anything to do with my life before I was with you. When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, Lord, thank you for redeeming me from that life. There's nothing there to look back on. We've left that in the past. God says, focus on where I'm trying to take you in your life. Listen, as a Christian, it'd be wise to live every day thanking God for redeeming you from your past. And as well, you'd be wise to realize God's redeemed you for something far better. You don't need your old life this morning. You don't need what you used to need in your life as an unsaved person. God says, leave that in the past. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that Christ came as the good shepherd, and he has come to give us a life, but not just a life, a more abundant life. Amen. Listen, this morning he promises that. As a Christian, it'd be wise to remember that God has redeemed you for something far better. As God is pulling Lot and his wife and his family out of Sodom, I can't help but think, as that angel is leading them, that God has so much more for them planned. A greater life than what they had in Sodom, because God had redeemed them from them, but it would take some focusing on where God was taking them. And yet we see Lot's wife looking back longingly from where she had been. That's one application from this passage. Can I help you understand that not only has Christ redeemed you from something or for something better, not only had God redeemed them from Sodom for something better, the second application here is that God removed them from Sodom completely. And here's what I mean by that. This morning, if you're saved today, Christ has forgiven you completely. Amen. Some look back longingly. They look back on the good old days, or they try to move as much as they can back to that life before Christ. But you know, there's others that live every day questioning, did God really save me? Did God really give me complete forgiveness of sins? Can God really use me? Brother Andy, you don't know what I was like before I got saved. Can God really give me an abundant life? Listen, I have these demons that are in my past, these things that haunt me, these memories. You don't know what type of a person I was. And yes, you may have been raised in church, but Brother Andy, listen, I have this past. Can God really use me? The devil keeps bringing up these memories and these things that haunt me. You don't understand all that I've done. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Because some look back on that old life and wonder, can God really use me? The past that I've had, can he really give me victory? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And then I love verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Can I tell you this morning, if you've been saved today, you stand before Christ, and he chooses to look at you as sinless. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed on you and has completely forgiven you of your sins. Listen, as we understand that this morning, we understand that Christ offers complete forgiveness of sins, that he chooses to forget my past. Listen, as a Christian, you're no longer associated with your past as far as God is concerned. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has separated our sins from us. Some limit what they allow God to do in their life because they can't ever stop focusing on who they were before they were saved. I realize God has forgiven me my sins, but you don't understand what kind of a person I was. Some even doubt an all-powerful God and his ability to save them. And yet, can I help you understand this morning an abundant life that he promises? Is not a life full of doubt and worry over my sinful past? Listen, God doesn't want you sitting around wringing your hands and saying, well, I was a really bad person before, and listen, I just have these memories. Listen, no, that's not the abundant life that God has saved us from and wants to give to us. God wants to give us an abundant life where we realize, listen, I have done some things in the past, but God has forgiven them, and it's time to move forward with God, what he longs to do in my life. Paul was a murderer before he was saved. Why don't you stop and think about that? A persecutor of Christians, murdering people in the name of religion. And yet God saved him. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I have a past, but God's forgiven me of that past. Therefore, I'm not associated with my past anymore. And now I can focus on what God desires to do in my life in the present. Where he's leading me and where he's taking me. It would be like someone this morning, if you have a mortgage on your home, be like someone calling you up and saying, listen, the Lord has laid it upon my heart to take care of your mortgage and pay the rest of the balance off. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Someone called you on the phone today and said, could you just get the payoff for that? Let me know. Give me the bank information. I'll take care of the mortgage. And so that happened, and you received a note from the bank that the lien had been settled. You own that home free and clear. The deed comes back. You know the transaction has been made. But February 1st rolls around, and you go get the checkbook out, and you begin to fill out the name of the bank, and you begin to pay the mortgage again, just like you have done for several months prior. The transaction has been made. The proof is there. You have the deed from the bank that says you own your home free and clear, but yet you can't just ever get past the fact that someone would be that kind to write off or to pay off your mortgage, and so therefore you continue to write a check to the bank month after month. And yet how true is it in our Christian life? God has given us His Word. We understand what Christ has done for us. We understand that there's a complete forgiveness of sins, but sometimes, listen, Christians struggle with the very idea that a loving God would really do all that for me. The transaction has been made. You've received Jesus Christ, your Savior, and now He says, listen, stop focusing on the past and look towards what I want to do in your life. Stay focused on where God is taking you. And through the example of Lot's wife, we learn a valuable lesson. Keep focused on where God is leading you. Don't look back. That's all behind you now. In fact, God has given us a landmark, a pillar of salt. You ever wonder why God just didn't take her off this earth? I believe God gave us a physical landmark to look to so that every Christian might look back and remember, listen, if you're going to accomplish what God desires for you to accomplish, you won't do that looking behind you, but looking forward at what God desires to do in your life. Christian, may we remember, first of all, that God has redeemed us for something far better than our past. God has so much more planned for you. Listen, if you're struggling in your Christian life, you're saying, this is not the abundant life, it possibly is because you've been focused on other things and not focused on where He's taking you. God has redeemed you for something far better, and then God has forgiven you completely. Amen. Complete forgiveness of sins. You're not associated with your past anymore. If we'll learn these lessons, then we can truly experience that abundant life that God longs for us to have. So we start out 2019. Maybe you're not proud of how your year went last year. You're looking back and you're saying, listen, I wish I was able to do more for God. I'm not proud of the way that I lived last year. God says it's a new opportunity, a new chance to forget about what's in your past and look forward to where I'm taking you. But if God's going to take us anywhere, we have to keep our eyes focused on Him. We can't be looking back when we're supposed to be moving forward. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I thank you so much for the way you listen. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation. Can I first extend an invitation to those that may not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Understand that judgment is coming, but today, an extension of mercy to us. God gives mercy to each and every one of us. He says, call upon me. Accept my free gift of salvation. And then the invitation goes out to Christians as well this morning. Are you looking back? Are you looking somewhere other than where God is taking you? Focus on what God wants to do in your life. Lord, we're thankful for this message. We're thankful for this passage in which we can learn many things from Lot's wife. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn the lesson. Lord, help to drive it deep within our hearts. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.